reader. Only 21 chapters. And so it's not going to hurt you to read those pages. But this is the book of God, and John, writing what he did, being moved by the Holy Spirit of God to do so, said, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life through his name." So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 6, please. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And come down to verse 68. John chapter 6 and verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And the word "words" there is not logos, as it is in so many other times in the New Testament, but here it's rhema, the sayings of God. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Turn now to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, and come down to verse 20. Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Go back to the left a couple of pages to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That is to say, because they believed the gospel message, the word of God that was preached to them, they became members of the body of Christ. They were added to the church, which was formed on the day of Pentecost. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. Down to verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." I want you to keep these verses in mind, please. We thank God for the Bible, the word of God. God has given to us many gifts. And right now I am thinking of three wonderful gifts particularly. One is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus is a gift from God the Father to the world, and particularly to all believers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift from God to us, just as all believers are a gift of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we think of this wonderful gift, the Savior himself. Another wonderful gift is the Holy Spirit of God. And I am thinking now of the upper room scene And I am thinking particularly of John's Gospel, chapters 14 and 16, but chapters 13 on through 17 give to us the upper room ministry. But in John chapter 14 and chapter 16, the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples about another comforter. When he spoke about leaving these believers, they were sad. And you will remember in chapter 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so he comforted his disciples, and he went on to say, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans." On the one hand, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give to you another comforter," that is, another of the same kind. Sometimes that word "another" is used to indicate another of a different kind, as it was with Nicodemus. "Nicodemus," said the Lord Jesus, "you must be born again." And there the emphasis is again, but differently. Another birth, but a different kind of birth. So the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "I will pray the Father, and he will give to you another comforter." And there a different word is used, indicating another of the same kind, because the Holy Spirit is God, as well as God the Father and God the Son. We believe in the Holy Trinity. So the Lord said, "The Father will give to you another comforter," but then he went on to say, "I will give to you another comforter." It's a joint participation by God the Father and God the Son to give the Holy Spirit to all who are saved. When a person hears the Word of God or reads the Word of God and begins thinking about his or her soul, about eternity, about God, about salvation, and wanting to be saved, the Word of God makes it quite clear that when such a one calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that one is saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And everyone who takes God at his word, believing the testimony that he has given concerning his Son, desiring to be saved, and by faith receives Christ into his or her life, then that one receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is it Romans 8 and 9? That without the Holy Spirit of God, you are none of his. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift. The Holy Spirit of God is a gift given to every believer. But we're thinking of the Bible, which is another wonderful gift from God. And as I said, we appreciate the work that the Gideons are doing. And you know, when you stop to think about it, I remember someone asking me some time ago, what do you think of these different institutions and activities like child evangelism, like the Gideons, evangelism explosion? What do you think of these different outreaches? I said, praise God, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. But these are involvements concerning which every local church should be engaged. We all, as believers, should be sharing the Word of God. We should be witnessing, and we should be seeking to reach people with the gospel message, young and older. And God has blessed, and He is blessing, these efforts, and we're thinking particularly of the Gideons, because so many local churches are not doing it. Thank God for them. But this morning I want us to think further about the incarnate Word, speaking of Christ, and the inspired Word, speaking of the Bible. This word incarnate or incarnation means in flesh. Jesus was born of a virgin. God the Son took upon him human form. And God was manifest in flesh, the incarnation. So when we speak about the, and I'm using my hands, I know, with my Jewish background, I do this quite often. So in thinking of the incarnate word, we're thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ. In thinking of the inspired word, we are thinking of the Bible. And there is an organic connection between the two. There is an inseparable connection between the two. On the one hand, we are amazed at the similarities of the two, and yet we shouldn't be, as you will see in proceeding with these thoughts. But we are thinking of these two now, the incarnate word, Christ, and the inspired word, the Bible. First of all, the incarnate word came from heaven. John tells us in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, speaking of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in chapter 1 and verse 14 of John's gospel, John wrote, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt, or tabernacled, or tented among us, and we beheld his glory. And so the incarnate word came from heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as the Lord Jesus was looking on to Calvary and what would transpire there, the Lord prayed there in that garden. And he said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. It's interesting, isn't it, when you go back to such portions as 1 Kings chapter 6. I would have to look up some of the other references. And we read about the tabernacle. And we read about the most holy place of the tabernacle. In that holy place, there was the Ark of the Covenant, in which was or were the Ten Commandments, or we might say the Word of God, and a pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded and so on. But in the Ark of the Covenant was the Word of God. And it's spoken of in 1 Kings chapter 6, and as I said in 2 Chronicles, I'll have to look up the other references. That place is spoken of as the oracle, as the oracle. Why is that? And what does oracle mean? It means word. You see, that was the word place. That's where the word of God was deposited. The oracle. And I'm simply saying that in speaking of the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was there in heaven with the Father from eternity place. The word or the oracle was there in the word place. So the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, came from heaven. The Son of God took upon him human form, apart from sin. He is deity, and yet he's human. But he came from heaven. All right, think of the Bible. The Bible came from heaven. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, and we saw this from Psalm 119, verse 89, not too long ago, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is given by inspiration, the outbreathing of God. You know, when you think of God breathing into that lifeless form that he made from the dust of the ground, God breathes into the nostrils of man the breath of life, in the plural, the breath of lives, and man became a living soul. God used about 40 different writers over a period of above 1,500 years to write what we have before us in this blessed book, And in and through it all, God was breathing, which makes this book, as our brother referred to from Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick. It's living. This is a living book. It came from heaven. When you go to a portion of Scripture like Titus, chapter 1 and verse 2, we read where God promised eternal life before the foundation of the world. Now, I want you to think of that now. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God promised everlasting life before the foundation of the world. He promised everlasting or eternal life to whom? We were not here before the foundation of the world. It indicates to me that there was a meeting in eternity past by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in which it was determined by Almighty God that He would make man in His image after His likeness and give to man that power of choice, and by that choice man would plunge himself and all of his posterity into sin and under its consequences, so that God would have to do a work on man's behalf to save him. God knew that from eternity past in His foreknowledge. And I believe when we read words like Titus 1 and 2, that He promised eternal life or everlasting life before the foundation of the world, I believe it would take us back to that meeting, that covenant made between the members of the Holy Trinity. When God determined that in this coming day, when the gospel message is preached, that all who will take Him at His word and on the basis of His testimony receive Christ as Savior will have everlasting life. And the point I'm making is that word was established in eternity past. So the incarnate word came from heaven. The inspired word came from heaven. This is the reason Peter says that Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain from before the foundation of the world. All of this was determined in eternity past. So the inspired word came from heaven. Secondly, the incarnate word is eternal. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. When the wise men came from the east, seeking Him, the King of the Jews, Herod ordered the scribes to search the Old Testament scriptures. Where is such a one to be born? And they came back to him and said, here it is, right here in Micah. I was going to say chapter 5 and verse 2, but the the Bible wasn't divided into chapters and verses back then. But at any rate, here it is, Herod, in chapter 5 and verse 2 of Micah, that he is to be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So the incarnate word is eternal. The Lord prayed, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And in taking upon him human form, he became something that he had not been before, without ceasing to be what he always was. So the incarnate word is eternal. Well, the inspired word, the Bible, is eternal. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 119 in verse 160. And we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth. Or, as it would be in the original text, by the word of God living and abiding forever. So the incarnate word is eternal. The inspired word is eternal. The incarnate word, God in flesh is a revelation of God in human form. Paul speaks of Christ in Colossians chapter 1 as the image, and I believe the word there is icon. Christ is the image of the invisible God. That is, he is the visible expression of the invisible God. How can I reveal to you my innermost thoughts? I mean, I am thinking about something. You have no idea what I'm thinking. How can I make myself known to you, and how can I reveal myself to you, my innermost thoughts to you? I'm going to use words. All right, God reveals himself. The writer of Hebrews tells us, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, is the way the text goes. Or in his Son, as we read it in the English translation. So the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the revelation of God in human form. And think of this. That transformation, that is, God taking upon him human form, was accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Luke 1:35, the angel said, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. You remember Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Hers was not a question of unbelief, as was Zacharias, the priest. In essence, Zacharias, when he was told by the angel of the Lord that his wife Elizabeth would give birth to a son, John the Baptist, cousin to Jesus, his was a question of doubt. In essence, he said, how can this be? I'm old. My wife is old. No, when it came to Mary, Mary's was not a question of doubt. She said, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. Hers was not a question of doubt. And so the angel said, fear not, you will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing, strange terminology, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. So the incarnate Word is a revelation of God in human form, being conceived by the Holy Spirit of God, that is his body. All right, let's think of the inspired Word, the Bible. This blessed book is a revelation of God in human language. The incarnate Word in human form, the inspired Word in human language. And this book is brought about by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit of God. This blessed book is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the writer, using human instruments. Number four. The incarnate Word was not merely a man born of a virgin. He was. He is a Jew, the son of Abraham, the son of David. He was and is King of the Jews. When he was born King of the Jews. When he died, the inscription said, you need to read all four Gospels, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And when he comes again, he will come as King of the Jews. And the special relation in which Jesus stands to the Jews was not merely for a certain span of time, but for all ages. But, though Jewish, the Savior is not just for the Jews. The angelic announcement was, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What's the rest of it? "Which shall be to all people." So, the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, though a Jew, was for the entire world. This is the reason Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." All right, let's think of the inspired Word, the Bible, an intensely Jewish book. All the writers, both of the Old Testament and New Testament, were Hebrews. The Bible is Jewish in history, Jewish in tone, and even the New Testament, though written in Greek, speaks with the voice of Israel. And the full contents of Holy Scripture will never be thoroughly understood by the Jews until Israel acknowledges the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior. But though this book is Jewish in nature, it is for the entire world. 5. The incarnate Word spoke in simplest language, yet His words are profound. He taught daily in the temple, He spoke in the streets and in the concourse of the multitude. He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Yet only they that were enlightened by the Spirit of God were able to understand His words. Never man spake like this man. Well, what about the inspired Word, the Bible? In simplest language, I realize there are portions like the Revelation and other portions in Old and New Testament alike that give to us profound truth and some things difficult to understand, difficult to grasp. But so far as salvation is concerned, in the simplest of language. And I told some of you last Wednesday night when Louise and I were in Florida a week ago for a conference, this Egyptian believer, the two couples, we hit it off right from the beginning. We really did. And he came to me one day and he said, "Brother Eddie," he said, "right down the street is an Iranian doctor. He embraces Christianity, but I don't believe he's saved. Would you like to go with me to visit him?" I said, "Yes, I would." We went. And in the course of our conversation, this Iranian doctor, a learned man, quite evidently, to accomplish what he did in the medical field, yet like a little child, he said to me, "Make it simple now. Make it simple so I can understand it." I said, "All right. Let's read this verse here. I want you to read it." It was his Bible, 1 John 5:12. I said, "You talk about simple. These are all one-syllable words. Read it." And in kind of a broken way, he said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I said, "Now that's simple, isn't it, brother?" He looked at me. He said, "What does that word there mean, hath?" I was surprised. The Egyptian brother said, "That means you have it. That means you have him if you're saved. He who has the Son." Well, the inspired Word, the Bible, is in simple language. It's in our own language. Thank God for those who have translated the Scriptures. And yet it requires the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God, because the unsaved person, the natural person, understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. But when a person has a desire to know the truth, "I'm going to read these scriptures, I'm going to read these words, and if it's true. I want God to impact me with His truth and make it real. And He will. And He will. 6. The incarnate Word spoke with the word of power. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, things happened. Why would these Jewish followers of Jesus go to Him and say, Lord, teach us to pray? I mean, they were steeped in the Jewish religion. These men were brought up from David's hearing and knowing something about Old Testament scripture. Had they not heard prayers before? Did they not know how to pray? Oh, not like he prayed. I mean, we pray, nothing happens, it seems. But when he prays, his words have power. Things happen. Lord, teach us to pray. He spoke words of power. And his words had an effect on the minds of men. But now think of the inspired words, the Bible. This is the power of God. It's the dunamis. It's the power of God to everyone that believeth. The words of this book have an effect on the minds of men. And why is this so now? Why is this so? Because both the incarnate Word, Christ, and the inspired Word, the Bible, are a revelation of God. They both come from God. They both speak as God. Because, as I said, the incarnate Word is a revelation of God in human form, and the Bible is a revelation of God in human language. Both are the Word of God. 7, and last, the incarnate Word and the inspired Word are the Word of life. I believe it was last year at Gideon Sunday, I shared with you two portions of Scripture. Philippians 2:16, where Paul spoke about holding forth the word of life. And he seems to be speaking of the word. Some would say, no, he's speaking of Christ there and not the inspired word. But many believe that when he said holding forth the word of life, he means the word, the inspired word of God, which is all about the incarnate word. The Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ on paper. So Paul spoke about holding forth the word of life, and John, in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, said, our hands actually touched the word of life. We actually touched him. The only two times that expression is used in Scripture, the words of life, or the word of life, excuse me, the word of life. But now in the verses that we read, the Lord Jesus has these words in himself, as does the Bible. The Lord has them in himself. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So these words are in the incarnate Son. The preacher speaks them in his message from the inspired word. That was indicated in Acts 5:20. Go, said the angel, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So the Lord has these words in himself. The preacher speaks them in the message from the Bible. And the sinner receives the words of life in faith. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were saved as a result of receiving the word of life. And lastly, the Holy Spirit uses the words of life in this new birth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Thank God for the Bible. And thank God for those, like our brother Mac here and so many others, who are faithful, diligent in distributing the word. Let's close in prayer. Father, how privileged we are, how blessed we are to have in our possession a copy of the Word of God. We think of those people in many places on this globe who would love to have a copy, who perhaps have a few pages, or maybe just the New Testament, who would love to have a copy of the Word. And Lord, we are hearing of increased activity in many countries where the Bible is being produced in mass production once again. We are hearing good reports from China and other places. We thank Thee and praise Thee for this. And we can have a part in the ministry of helping to distribute the Word of God all over the globe. May we do so. But Lord, may we be diligent in reading and studying the Word for ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to make these things real in our life. We pray it will be so for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for any here today who have not by faith trusted Christ as Savior. May they do so and go away from this place knowing Christ in that personal way. We pray in His name. Amen.